In our current circumstances that are surrounding us today, we may get overwhelmed with emotions, and this may be due to the cancellation of some of our favorite things, being the norm isn't normal anymore. And we may have different emotions that we have to deal with, like fear or depression or anxiety, disappointment, sadness or anger, even disgust. And sometimes these emotions are so intense or they're confusing or even overwhelming that we may not know how to express them or even how to identify these emotions. But I want us to know one thing. And God has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. Whenever these emotions are running wild, we need to know that God has given us everything that we need to live a good life and everything we need to live a righteous life or a holy life. And that is found in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, that God has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. And knowing that, we can have hope and trust in God that He's given us everything that we need. God has also given us a collection of psalms and that are an expression of emotions that help us in our times of our overwhelming emotions. In fact, we see these psalms, it's also poetry in some regard, but we can look at it and they're filled with emotions. And today I want us to look upon Psalm chapter 18. And I want us to look at Psalm 18, 1 through 6, and we're going to look at David, and he is the composer or the writer of this psalm. And want to know a little bit of background about the psalm is this, that Saul was after him. Saul wanted to kill him. And David's life was, I'm sure, would have been filled with emotion because of all this. But I want us to look at what he said. Psalm 18, verses 1 through 6, where he said, "I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The pangs of death surround me, and the floods of the unrighteous or the ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrow of Sheol surrounded me, and the snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God, and he heard my voice from his temple, and my cry before him, even to his ears." You see, David, in the time of his distress, the time where emotions were going on, when uncertainty was there, he turned to his relationship with God. He had a relationship with God. In fact, he said, "I will love you, O Lord, my strength." He loved God. And I can't help but think that no matter what was going on in David's life, that he had a love for God, and his love for God remained the same. And that's one great thing that we can know. God's love for us remains the same, whether we're listening to him and following after him, or whether we're not and disobeying him. God's love stays the same. And I think that's what David was getting to the point, is there's things going on in my life, but I love you, Lord. Oh God, my strength. He was expressing his love for God, his fervent love that he had, and because he knew who God was, and he put God first in his life. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, the Bible says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." When we look at what we should do in our life is seek God first, whether in good times or whether in bad times. When we know that God gives us everything we need, he will supply the air. He'll supply the clothing, our shelter. He supplies that. And we can have hope and trust in him if we put him first in our life. God's love never changes. And we are God's creation. We're made in his image. We are a special creation. And when we know that, we can trust in him. And he can be our strength. Because of his strength, we can know who he is. And because he's revealed it to us through scripture, we can know who God is. And I look at David and the things that he was going through in life and the trials that were right before him. He probably had to look back at that relationship. Maybe we can look back at his relationship with God when he was standing before Goliath. And when he heard about Goliath, what did David say? In 1 Samuel 17 and verse 26, he said this. He said, "For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that should taunt the armies of the living God?" Goliath was taunting the armies of Israel. He was taunting and raising havoc in amongst the people of uncertainty. And quite honestly, it was just the time when there was uneasy, unrest. But David saw upon this man Goliath, and he said, "Who is he?" And I think because he knew God, and he knew this man was just was Goliath, he pretty much was like, "Who is this guy that he can actually taunt us?" Well, David went on and came before him, and he was going to battle him, and Goliath even was taunting David. He said, "Who is this dog that's coming before me? Who's this little man? What is he going to do? He come with some rocks and sticks, and he's going to beat me, this mighty man?" But let's look at what he said in verse 45. And he said this, "You come to me," this is David saying to the Philistine. He said, "You come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of the Lord, in whom you have taunted. This day I'll deliver you up into my hands, and I will strike you down, and I'll remove your head from you." You see, David knew who God was, and he knew that Goliath had no chance against God. And he knew that God was on his side. He had a trust because he knew God's strength that would see him through any circumstances of life. Even with Goliath, even if Saul's pursuing and trying to kill him. Why? Because David had knowledge of God. He knew who God was. And he had this relationship with him, and which allowed his love to flow openly to God, and that he can express that love to God, that he is the Almighty God. He is powerful enough to create this world into existence with just speaking it. And he's strong enough to destroy the whole earth with water. He's strong enough to destroy this enemy of Goliath that is in front of him. Yet, he is even strong enough to save the righteous that follow after him, that seek him first. You see, David had a relationship with God, and he knew that God was his strength. And he said that about God, he said, "I love you, O Lord, my strength." And he said, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." Metaphor after metaphor David used to describe God and how he knew God and how he knew who he was, and therefore he didn't have to be afraid. No matter what circumstance of life was getting in front of him, he knew God, and he used these to identify who his God was. That God was his rock. He was his firm footing, where he could trust and hope on and lean upon and walk upon. And we look at a rock that is powerful, it's strong, but God created that rock. He is even more powerful than that rock. He is my fortress. That's a place of security. We look at our homes, and our homes are a place where we feel safe. That is what God felt, or David felt towards God, that he was his fortress. He was his place of security. And he was also his deliverer, the place of refuge, the one that will bring him through these times of trials and times of persecution and times of unrest. And he is also his shield. He offers protection. And he is the Lord of my salvation. But he said a horn. And we look at a horn in Scripture, and it often portrays an influential and powerful ruler. And God was that for David. He was the horn of his salvation. And we look at the shield, and it was for his defense. And for his salvation was the offense. And all of these terms are military terms of the day. And David referred to them because he knew who God was. He knew the relationship that he had with God. And he knew who God was, that he is powerful enough. And not only that, he is worthy to be praised. He said, I'll call upon him. I'll call upon the Lord. He is worthy to be praised. He said, I'll be safe from my enemies. You know, even if the enemy is death, and death surrounds me, the floods come upon me of these enemies that make me afraid, and sorrow of death, the land of the dead, these things that confront me, I will call upon the Lord because I know He will hear me. Because I can lift up my voice to the Lord and it'll go before His throne, be in His temple, and I can cry to my God and He will hear me with His ears. You see, he had an understanding of who God is. And with having an understanding of who God was, he can praise Him. He can have a relationship with Him. And he can go before Him. And knowing whatever happens, I have God on my side. God is with me. And you see, that's where David turned to in his time of distress. And he said, he can put his hope and trust in Him because God keeps His promises. You see, David was going to be one who would serve, who would be a leader of God's people. He would be the king of Israel. He would be the one, even though Saul's after him and Saul is going to pursue him, he is going to be the next on the throne. And God was with him. And he called upon the Lord, and the Lord heard him. And that is just good enough. You know, if God does nothing, if God does any, he doesn't do anything but hear us, we should have comfort in that. That we can go before the Almighty God, and he can hear us. He can hear our requests. He can hear our praise. He can hear everything. And we know that. We can have that right relationship with him if we would listen to him and follow after him. And one of the great things, he's revealed how to do that in Scripture, that we can follow after him. And no matter what emotions we are going through in this time, in this day, that we can put our hope and trust in and know that God is there. God hears us. God sees us. He understands what we are going through. Will we call upon him? Will we call upon him? Because he is definitely worthy to be praised. Now, I want to take a few minutes and look at some New Testament examples where people were in times of need, like David was in a time of need. And we can call upon the Lord. In Acts chapter 27, Paul was in great distress. In fact, he was in prison, and he was on a ship and going from Jerusalem to Rome, and they were caught up in a strong storm. And in verse 20, it says, "Now there was neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest beat on us." In fact, what he was saying was, the storm was so great, we haven't seen the sun, the moon, the stars, or anything like that for days. In fact, this storm was so bad, it kept beating upon us. It got to a point where they felt that there was no hope, that they had finally given up. And they've gone without food, and they have gone without this. Paul was under great distress, along with all the people who were on the ship with them. And what does Paul say in verse 22? It says, "Now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by night an angel of God, to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, 'Don't be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all of those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it is just as it is told to me.'" What he's saying is, God came to him in that time of need and sent an angel and said, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of what's going to happen, because I'm going to keep my promises to you. I'm going to keep you safe, and you are going to do what I intended you to do. You're going to go before Caesar, and Caesar's going to hear your case, and you're going to make your defense for who the one who saved you, Jesus Christ, the one who saved you from your sins. You're going to stand up and teach them the gospel of Jesus Christ. When Paul was going through this great time of distress, Paul was comforted by God. And that God will keep his promises. And he trusted in God. And God kept his promise. And that's exactly what Paul did. He went to Rome. And he was before Caesar. And his case was heard. And we can also put our hope and trust in God because of Jesus Christ. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want us to look at a few things. 1 Corinthians 15 is a great chapter of the Bible that kind of just sums everything up. That sums why we can have hope. It's because Jesus Christ came and he was resurrected. And that is the hope that we can have in him. And I want us to read verse 50 through 58. And I want us to look at this. And there's some things I want us to draw from this. It says in verse 50, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be all changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when the corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that was written." And this is a quote from the Old Testament. It says, "Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, Hades, where is your victory? Oh, the sting of death is sin, and the sting of strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. Thanks be to God who has given us glory, who has given us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." We need to look at this and understand that two things are going to happen. One of two things. We either are going to die physically, or Jesus is going to return. You see, we look at our bodies. They're corrupt bodies. They're dying bodies. But we must go through a change to a corrupted body to an incorruptible body. We must go to a mortal body to immortality. And there has to be a change. And the only way this change can happen is by us either dying or Jesus returns. You see, because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And why am I bringing up this? Because in the time of all these great things that are going around us, we can put our hope and trust in God because God keeps his promises. We can trust him because we have a God who is all powerful, who is greater than any virus, who is greater than anything or rulers or anything man can put together. God is greater than that, and we can trust in him. You see, God is going to change our corruptible or perishable flesh into incorruptible or eternal. If we have the right relationship with God, we shall not fear this. We shall not fear going on to the next life. Death may come upon us, but Jesus conquered that death. Victory is in Jesus Christ. We should be joyous and thankful that our God kept his promises and will continue to keep our promises until Jesus does return, that we can have hope and trust in him. No matter the storms of life that go around us, no matter what happens, we can trust in God. In fact, Colossians 1 and verse 13 says this, "For he has delivered us out of the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of God, of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins." You see, when we become a Christian, when we follow the teachings of Jesus Christ, when we believe in him, we confess him, and we are baptized for the remission of our sins, obviously we have to repent as well, change from our sinful state, and we are baptized, have our sins washed away, we can know that God has transformed us from the power of darkness out into light. We are transferred, because Jesus is the light, and he has transferred us that power from darkness to light. And he's moved us into his kingdom, which is the church. The church is Christ's body, his kingdom. And that's where we are transferred or conveyed. And we have redemption through his blood and have our sins forgiven. You see, whenever we look at scripture like this, we can know and trust and hope in God, that because he keeps his promises. When we look at David trusted in God, had a relationship with God, and God kept his promises. We look at Paul, and he had that promise with God, and God helped him through those storms of life. He can help us in the time of our need as well. If we would just call upon him, if we would reach out to him and try to have that relationship with him. How do we have a relationship with him? By knowing who he is. He is the all-powerful God. He is the one who has created us to make us his special people. But we must follow him. He has allowed us to have free will, to either choose to follow him or not follow him. But when we follow him, he is our God. He is our comfort. He is our rock. And he is our shield of safety. We look at all these overwhelming emotions that we might have. If we turn to God in those times, God is there to help us. And even when we're not going through those things, we need to turn to God and be thankful and praise him. And praise him no matter what. Because no matter what happens, we can have a right relationship with God. And we can spend eternity with God if we have that relationship. If we know who God is and we follow after him. And that is putting our hope and trust in him. And Jesus came to this earth. He died for our sins. He went to the grave. He took on our price that we should have paid, which is death, because we have sinned. And he has redeemed us of our sins because he is resurrected from the dead. That we can have hope that one day that we can be joined together with him for eternity if we have that right relationship with him. You see, we need to put our hope and trust in him. He is our strength. He is our rock, our security, our deliverer, and our shield. Will you call upon him? Because he is worthy to be praised. If you need to look upon your life, take this time. Take this while things are slower and while things are not moving as quickly. Take an opportunity to examine your life. How do we examine it? By looking at God's word and saying, am I following? And if you don't know if you're following or not, I'd be glad to sit down and just show you what the scripture said. Because that's what matters. That's what God's revealed to us, that we can follow after his word. And we can know that we can be in that right relationship with him. And we can have confidence as David had confidence. We can have confidence as Paul had confidence. We can have confidence that the apostles, they went to death because they went out teaching about Jesus, and they died because of what they taught. But we know this, no matter what happens in this world, they look to the next. They look to eternity. And I want us to look to eternity. Look at what God revealed to us and make sure we are right with God. If I can help you in that way, I would encourage you to reach out to me. I want to say this before we close today. If our hope and trust is not in the Lord, if our hope and trust is not in God, you need to fix that. And you need to fix it as soon as possible. If we can help you, please reach out to us. We love you, and we hope that all goes well in this time of need. And we pray for you, that you would get your life right with God. Thank you so much for the opportunity to bring forth a lesson. And I pray that God will all lead us through these difficult times.